What assurances can you give feds that there won't be another near shutdown, that this is going to somehow be resolved peaceably?
Well, I can't give you that assurance because I think that's really going to be up to the majority in the House of Representatives, whether they want to play that kind of brinkmanship again. I certainly think that's reckless and irresponsible, and hopefully they will think better of it. I do think there are signs that the blowback they got from that kind of showdown was not positive, and I think they want to try to avoid it if they can. So in your news report, you just described what's going on in terms of the continuing resolution through November 18th in anticipation of the so-called super committee's recommendations by that point. So I think that's good news that legislation's already, you know, prepared to address the full funding of the government through that that time. So I'm actually kind of hopeful that we will avoid the brinkmanship we had earlier this year.
So the bill that is now before the House, that CR bill that would go to November 18th, does that look pretty clean, like something both sides can get behind at this point?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's got some elements in it, as your news report pointed out, that would ease some of the burden on the Postal Service, for example. Well, that's a big issue, so it buys some time for longer-term solutions, and that's a good thing.
So let's talk a bit about why this has been so hard this time around. Continuing resolutions are nothing new, but for some reason there seems to be a lot more sticking points. Is it just the small details that are getting in the way, or are there some overarching issues that really need to be worked out that particularly would impact feds?
I think there are overarching issues, Amy, because I think that you've got a profound clash in philosophies going on in the Congress. So, especially in the last election, you had a huge infusion of new members of Congress who, frankly, questioned the whole idea of the role of the government in so many spheres of our lives. And were pretty keen on dismantling as much as they could contradictions in their own positions and the reality in their own districts notwithstanding. So, I think that the differences between the two parties in terms of a philosophy of governance are as profound as they've ever been. And as a result, that sort of permeates debate and attitude toward the need for programs, the need for continuity, the need for future investments, a balancing act, more of a balancing act between, you know, the need to get our fiscal house in order, absolutely necessary, but also to sustain strategic investments for the future.
Well, getting back to the $1 trillion we know we'll probably have, at least, to sustain the federal agencies for the next year, I wonder what you're hearing from the contractors that are in your district, because they live and die by the federal budgets, and particularly at a program-by-program level. And they're all wondering how this is going to fall out, because under a CR, agencies can only do what was authorized in the prior year. What are they telling you? What are they looking for?
They're obviously very concerned about level of funding. My district has a lot of federal contractors, and it's as much about the uncertainty of the future as it is about the actual amounts that are appropriated. Because it has had this uncertainty has had a chilling effect on the ability of federal supervisors, for example, to award contracts. And so what's been happening is you had either the delay or the cancellation outright of a number of contracts that had been planned. That's very difficult for a company or a nonprofit, or especially a small business, to sort of plan for the future. And if you're highly specialized and a small business that provides sort of a very discrete service to a federal agency, that's a very dangerous place in which to be. So I think there's a great deal of anxiety about the uncertainty of the current climate, and having clarification moving forward is as important as is the actual appropriation of the budget.
And just as a side note, do you think Congress will repeal the 3% withholding tax rule that really nobody seems to like, contractor or government?
I've joined with a number of others on a bipartisan basis to introduce that legislation. I think we have a lot of support to do that. It's a matter of just getting it through the legislative funnel. So I am hopeful we're going to be able to do that this year.
We are talking with Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia, and we wanted to shift gears a bit and go to the Postal Service and learn a little bit more about what the future might hold for the Postal Service. The last we heard is that they're going to be closing more centers, and maybe the mail will be slower, but they'll at least survive the year.
First of all, I think Congress has to recognize that we're part of the problem. We put some burdens and responsibilities on the Postal Service that no other federal agency is required to meet, and including financial burdens that are quite onerous. We have 100% prepayment, for example, requirement for the Postal Service, which has added billions and billions and billions of dollars to their fiscal stress. And we can and should provide some relief. That's their money. They're overpaying the GAO fund that they're overpaying. And that perhaps those overpayments have are somewhere north of $50 billion cumulatively. So providing them some relief would instantly help their bottom line and buy them some breathing space in which to plan a new business model. I am extremely concerned that we're being rushed into making some sort of short-term decisions with long-term implications. I am not a big fan of the idea of going from 6 to 5 days a week mail delivery, because once you give that day up, you've given up a very important competitive advantage. And I am fearful that all it does is actually accelerate a downward spiral. So I think we should be very cautious about just being rushed into decisions because there's a crisis. And there are lots of things we can and should do that can alleviate the immediate crisis and help the Postal Service think through what their new business model is going to look like.
There's plenty of stuff on Congress's plate right now. Where does the Postal Service fall when it comes to priorities? And is there a legislation that is pending that is going to make it through that will actually resolve some of these issues?
Well, those are two different questions, Amy. There are several competing bills. I've introduced one. Steve Lynch of Massachusetts has introduced one. Darrell Issa, the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform, has his own bill. And then in the Senate, there are competing bills by Tom Carper of Delaware and Susan Collins of Maine. So there are lots of competing ideas. The White House is expected soon to submit its own legislative recommendations for how to move forward. And I would expect that we're probably going to act in the next few weeks in terms of a markup of that legislation. And it is possible that we'll take the best ideas from all of the above. But I do think we should not use this crisis essentially to ding on public employee unions or to, as I said earlier, be rushed into well-intentioned but what I think are very short-sighted decisions that will have long-term business implications for the Postal Service's viability.
And one question on the FAA. There is a new bill now. They've looks like they're going to get their stay of execution, at least for another couple of months or so. But Chairman Mica from Florida has said this is going to be the last short-term authorization for FAA, which seems like he wants to force the issue once and for all. What's your take on the outlook there?
Well, it depends on what he means. Certainly, 22 temporary extensions of the authorization for the Federal Aviation Administration is not a very good way to govern. They deserve, the agency deserves, and the public we serve deserve, some steady continuity for and stability for a federal agency that provides such critical services. So the concept that we ought to get off the short-term extension habit and actually have a longer-term piece of legislation that authorizes the agency, of course, I think makes sense. Of course, the question is, though, well, but what's in it? What does it do? Some of the elements that Mr. Mica put in the earlier legislation that was so controversial, I think are not helpful to the cause and would only make it much harder to do. So if we're all willing to sort of really deal with the underlying issues of the agency itself and its future and its funding needs, that's a good thing.